Thank you. home. Can everyone stand? We're about to pray. Just meditate on the words of those songs and make it personal. Make it yours. We're not singing unto man. We're not singing unto the woman and the man and the child next to you. We're singing unto the Lord of Lords, the King of Lords, the King of Kings. Hallelujah, hallelujah. See, the thing is, when we get close to God, and then anything that comes around us has to be changed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Anything that comes around us, even negative thoughts, even bad things, anything that comes around us, hallelujah, when we get close to Jesus, oh, yes, Lord, they are differently. Hallelujah, we look at them as situational things as opposed to obstacles. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. When we get close to God, hallelujah, I said that wrong, when we look at them as opportunity. Amen. Hallelujah, as opposed to things. Amen. To make us down and out. Amen. Hallelujah. When we get closer to the Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah.
For those 4 years, they couldn't find it. But she knew it was something wrong. And she kept telling us, she would tell his father, she would tell us, I don't care what y'all say, something is wrong. Amen. But we just bless the Lord that they didn't catch it in time, but God is still good. Amen. And y'all are in, I'm like a quiet church.
All right.
You got to talk to me. Amen. If you're going to be quiet, you can stay home. But the Bible said, make what kind of noise unto the Lord? You're supposed to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So talk back to me. Now, I want to teach, but if y'all don't talk back to me, y'all going to make me preach. Amen. But nevertheless, we thank God for all of you. We thank God for those that have traveled from afar. We thank God for the Jones family. I was so surprised to see them walking the doors this morning all the way from Philadelphia. Amen. The Bible said we're not supposed to love in tongue, but love how? In deed and in truth. That is deed and truth to come all the way from Philadelphia. This service to be here to support. We thank you, Brother and Sister Jones. Amen. And also for the family of Jasmine is here with us, those from New York, those that are from Schenectady, and all of them. We thank God that you're here with us today as well. Amen. We're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading at this time, which is coming from Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans, the 12th chapter. And we're just going to read three verses of scripture at this time. Amen. That being verses 1 through 3 of Romans, the 12th chapter. You know what? Justice was telling young people on the sick bed, he said, your most important relationship is your relationship with God. He's expired. Listen, he couldn't say it loud as far as a whisper. He said, but your most important relationship is your relationship with God. He's a 20-year-old young man, and he realized the value of a relationship with God. Amen. And in having a relationship with God, it's impossible to have a relationship if you don't do what he says. Because he said, if you love me,
keep my commandments.
If you love me, keep my commandments. So that's a personal question that each and every last one of us has to answer this morning. Do I love him? Well, on the flip side, if you love him, then you keep his commandment. That's how you solidify your relationship with the Lord. Amen? Let's go to Romans 12, verse 1. Verse 1 reads, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto yourself, unto the pastor, unto your husband, unto your wife, unto your mother, your grandfather, but unto whom? So your relationship with God is dependent on how you present yourself unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be Thank you. And Lord, we're here today to hear a word from you. Lord, we're here today for you to speak to us. So Lord, our heart's desire is speak for thy servant here. Lord, speak a word so that when we leave this place, we'll leave with the joy of the Lord as our strength. We'll leave knowing that we're in perfect harmony and union with our Father, and that we know that if he were to take us at any moment, he would look at us and say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And Lord, bless us today. Send a word of encouragement. And for this, we thank you. Can the church say, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I can't sing it, but down south, we used to sing old song. You might know an evangelist language. As long as I got a seat in the kingdom, that's all. As long as I got a seat in the kingdom, that's all right. I ain't gonna sing it. All right. But today, the most important thing is, what kind of seat do you have in the kingdom? Suffering doesn't matter. Hardships doesn't matter. Whatever we may be experiencing, the mental turmoil doesn't matter. As long as I got a seat in the kingdom, Lord, that's all right. Amen. Before we do that, I just saw it on the floor. Drop it. Can we just stand and say, we have a special prayer request from someone that's in the hospital. Sister Lene is in the hospital in North Carolina, and she sent this prayer request. I forgot what she has. A blood clot. Okay, so let's pray for that. Amen. Let us all. Can we? You know, sometimes just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. We can't be with her, but we can raise your hand to touch and agree. Heavenly Father, we lift up Sister Lene, even in this time of need. Lord, your word says that you know what things we have need of before we ask. What you still say, ask, and we shall receive. And you said, if we ask anything by faith in your name and doubt not, we shall receive. That as we as a congregation lift our hand and touch and agree, we ask you to touch sincerely. Whatever the condition is, Lord, we ask you for the working of miracles, and we thank you in Jesus' name for what we know you're going to do. Can the church say, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So I'm going to go back to this first verse. I want to stay in the first verse because this is where our true message is going to come, our actual message is going to come out of the first verse. Now, my desire this morning is not to make you feel good. My desire is to make you be right. Yeah. If you want to feel good, you need to go play music. But if you want to be right, the Bible says he sent his word and it healed them. He sent his word and it delivered them. He sent his word and it set free. So my desire this morning is, if you came in with a good relationship with God, the desire is that the word of God will make your relationship stronger. If you came in and your relationship with God was on shaky ground, the desire is that your relationship, the word of God will make your relationship with God stand on solid ground. If you came in this morning and you were distant, my desire is that the word of God would draw us closer. Amen. So it's so important today, Lord, send a word to clear cloudy minds. Lord, send a word to heal troubled spirits. Lord, send a word to set the captives free. The Bible says Satan has taken some captive at his will. But we ask God to send a word to set them free. Can we say hallelujah? So verse 1 reads, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So our message today is the Lord pleased with your sacrifice? Is the Lord pleased with your sacrifice? Now, we know that typically in the Old Testament, whenever he presented a sacrifice, the sacrifice was not alive, but it had to be dead. So the question is, why would God ask us to do something that seems to be contrary to the law that he established with sacrifices? The very first sacrifice that the Lord established was the sacrifice of the Passover. And the sacrifice of the Passover, he said, take a lamb. In Exodus, the 12th chapter, we're not going to go there, but you can reference it later. He said, take a lamb, a spotless lamb, a perfect lamb. In other words, we can't give God something that's no good. We can't give God something that is refuse. We can't give God something that we don't want. So in order for God to accept your sacrifice, it had to be perfect and without blemish. And then he said, and after 4 days, he said that they had to keep the sacrifice for 4 days. Because sometimes when you present a sacrifice, this is scripturally from the Old Testament, when you present a sacrifice initially, the sacrifice could appear to be perfect and without blemish. But then there were some diseases and some things after a few days that would manifest themselves. So they had to keep the sacrifice for 4 days before they slew it. And then when we get into the service a little later, we'll bring it out even greater. So they couldn't just take the lamb and kill it, but they had to keep it so it could be examined to see if it was perfect. Now this is the perfect Passover. Amen. Who got perfect Passover? Jesus. Who's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world? Jesus. And the Bible lets us know that in Jesus there was no spot, there was no blemish. He was perfect. He knew no sin. He was our perfect sacrifice. But the lamb also had a dual meaning in Egypt, because the Egyptian worshipped lambs. So the Egyptians worshipped lambs. So it was an affront to the Egyptian to know that we're going to sacrifice this lamb that we worship to your God. But God said, just do it anyway. Remember, he said, take the blood and put it on the lintels and the doorposts. He said, at midnight, when I pass through, he said, the death angel is going to pass through the land. He said, I'm going to kill everything that's firstborn of man and beast. He said, but when I pass through, when I see, I pass over you. So that's the first covenant the Lord established, was the Passover covenant. When I see the blood, he said, I'll pass over you. But the blood could not be tainted. The blood had to be perfect. So how many know the Egyptians said, well, that's our God. We don't care what you do. We don't believe that. But they said there was a cry at midnight. Yes, Lord, there was a cry at midnight. Because when the death angel began to move, when he got to the door, if he didn't see the blood, the firstborn in that house was slain. But if he saw the blood, God will. Come on, God will. That's why it's so important for your relationship to be right with God. Because in the time of trouble, the Lord understand the kind of sacrifice that God accepted. Amen. A lot of times we just want to give God anything. Like, God, I'm so busy. Just take this. Let me keep moving. Seriously. So, yeah, we get busy. We get tired. We can't do this. We can't do that. I think we learned last week, right? How many knows we're busy all the time? From the, I believe, what, maybe for the last 8, 9, 10 days, we had prayer every night. In Justice Room, starting from 7:30 for almost an hour, sometimes an hour and a half. How many know sometimes before that we were always too busy to pray?
Yes, sir.
That's no indictment. Yes, sir. That ain't an indictment. But I'm saying we gotta stop giving God what we want to give God, because God requires a perfect sacrifice. Well, Malachi 1 A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. He said, if I then be God, this is the Lord speaking. How many of us honor our parents? Let's give God a wave off. Honor them. So God said, now, I know how you honor your parents. He said, but if I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my, not a scared fear, but a reverential fear? Where is your army? Where do you see me and say, there's no God like our God? Amen. That's what he means by that fear. When you see God, you say, hey, the problem is big, but God is bigger. The mountain is high, but God is higher. The valley is low, but God is lower. Because our God specializes in the things that are impossible. So there is no God like our God. So he goes on to say in the latter part of this verse, he said, saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Sometimes in church, we don't honor the Lord like we ought to. We just don't honor him like we ought to. He said, well, the promise you offer polluted bread upon my altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee, and that ye say the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the listen, what they were, what Israel was doing, said, this lamb is mine, it ain't no good, I'm going to give it to God. Because right? It ain't no good for anything else, so I'm going to give God what's no good. This is what they were doing. They were offering the blind for sacrifice. He said, now wait a minute. You're supposed to give God your best. Listen, that was good. Oh, y'all got to talk to me a little bit, right? You got to give God your best. You're not supposed to give God something that you don't want. You can't give God something that somebody else doesn't want. He said, you offer the blind for sacrifice. Is it not evil? He goes on to say, and if you offer the lame and sick, is it not? So Israel was giving God stuff that they couldn't use. They said, I can't, this is no good to me, give it to God. Now your personal relationship, you got to check it out. Your relationship, is your sacrifice pleasing to God? Are you giving God your best? Are you giving God the sick? Are you giving God the lame? Are you giving God the blind? Amen. What are you giving God as a sacrifice? He said, now I pray you, verse 9, now I pray you. Well, let me go back up. Verse 8 said, if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer name unto. He said, then all this stuff you're giving God, man. You know, sometimes we get sidetracked. We give God the second son. He said, offer that to your God. Offer that to a man. Go and buy yourself the best diamond. And go get your wife a diamond out of the Jack in the Box. Well, what is it? Like a crappy. Right? Yeah. You go buy yourself a diamond. Then go give your wife a diamond out of Crack in the Box. Oh, God. What I'm saying, you can't give yourself the best and give your wife what? Crack in the Box. President? All right. Listen, y'all just let me roll. I'm sorry. I'm in the box. Well, what I'm saying is, you can't give yourself and man the best and give some God something out of a box. Let's leave it that way. He said, now go over that same thing that you've been, I just want you to just think about this for a while. That what you've been offering to God, I want you to go offer that to your husband or your wife. Offer that to a man. He said, give it to the who? To the governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts. Now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This has been my because of my own means, can we just say hallelujah? Say, will you regard your person, says the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you that will shut the door for naught? Neither do you kindle a fire on my altar for naught. I have. God said, wait a minute. You ever walk up to a door that's open and closing? Anybody do that? Don't do that, please. If you walk up to a door that's open and closing, people might call the white jackets in for you. But this is what God is saying. You can't go up to a door. If you just open and close it for nothing. God said, wait a minute. Well, how is it when you come to the house of God, you just giving God an open and closed door that don't mean nothing? Will God accept that sacrifice? He said, no, he will have no pleasure in that kind of sacrifice. Amen?
Because when you leave today, I don't want you to leave saying, well, we heard a
sacrifice.
Yes, Jesus.
Well, thank you. Lord, I'm so tired of giving you anything. I give God what I feel like giving him because I'm a free moral agent. You still are expected to give God your best. I'm all off track. Go to Genesis, the 4th chapter for me, Sister Shire. You can't give God anything. Amen. God wants your best. Amen. So go to, we'll start off in the first verse. Oh, Shire, all right, y'all, hope y'all, what am I helping? Come on, Brother Chris. All right. So let's go to Genesis 4. We'll start reading and you'll catch up. All right. So you can't give God anything. Amen. And what I like about salvation is individual. The Bible said, work out your own salvation with what?
Fear.
Fear and with trembling. Well, let's go to Genesis. You can't say, well, I think it's good enough for me, but that doesn't count. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
It might be good enough for you, but what does God think? So Genesis, the 4th chapter, verse 1, I have to take my glasses off. You know what? I had like maybe 10 Bibles. Every time a missionary or somebody came from Africa, somebody gave me all my Bibles. Then I was left with all these many, many scriptures. But nevertheless, God is still good. Verse 1 said, man knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have begotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the
sheep.
Man, right back to the sheep. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground and
offered unto the Lord.
Wait a second. Somebody said that. As long as I give God something, he ought to be grateful for what I give him. Yes, he will be grateful if you give him what he tells you to give him. You can't give him what you want to give him and think he's going to be grateful for that. All right? So he brought. And he brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto God. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his
offering.
But when it comes to God, don't let God give you a what. Y'all with me? God, I'm just saying. This is for the internet. Y'all don't see people get in the flesh. Y'all don't see people get in the flesh. Y'all can say yes or no. Say yes or no, or do this, that means I don't know. Alright. Some people get in the flesh. And when they get in the flesh, God did that for you. Why didn't he do it for me? Well, what's your offering been? God doing all this for everybody else. Why ain't he doing it for me? What's your offering? So it said, but unto Cain and unto his offering, God did respect what he gave him. Amen? And Cain, thank God that he none of us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God none of us are mad at God today because he's accepted somebody else but hasn't accepted us. So Cain got angry and his So I got joy like a river. You ever see people that come to church and say, uh-oh, that's a dead zone. Seriously, let's be real. You ever come to church? Say, that's a dead zone. I ain't going over there. Because you don't have no joy, you're going to see my joy. You understand what I'm saying? So, there it is. This person's been fuming and fuming and all this and all this, and man, the whole world and everything. And when they come in, they obviously have a countenance that's fallen.
Yes.
Well, I got joy like a river down in my soul. So my joy can't mix with your messed up stuff. They don't mix. Amen. So, why did everybody always walk away from me? What's your countenance like? That's no charge. All right. But the king and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. So what does God do in the next verse? God tries to reason, verse 6, he tries to reason with Cain. And the Lord said to Cain, why are any of us angry today at God? Why are we mad at God? He said, why are you wrong? And why? God said, why are you, you know what, you know what in every age, look at somebody and say, why are you acting like that? Come on, you ask somebody, why are you acting like that? Boy, y'all talk to each other, you have to wake up sometime. Why are you acting like that? God didn't get nothing, you, what you all messed up for? Why are you,
I've never been a prisoner to the past. Okay,
why, what about that person that made you mad? When you see them, are you pained? Does your countenance fall? If you can see somebody, I ain't talking to nobody, nobody here. I'm saying if you see somebody and your countenance, you're still living in the past. I'm just telling you the truth. Right? Because when your countenance falls, that is not of God. When you see somebody and you act ugly fruit, if you act like ugly fruit, God will accept that. Because the fruit God accepts is righteousness, joy, peace, gentleness, and all of that in the Holy Ghost, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. That's God's fruit. Anything that's not in that list, that's not God's fruit. God won't accept that. Well, you just don't know. God, listen, I heard Evangelist Lord say, God will put more on us than we ever did there. So if God gave it to you, you know you can handle it. But your mind is playing tricks on you and giving you to give God stuff that God doesn't want. I want to finish in Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Amen. Hebrews, the 13th chapter. It's so important. Actually, I want to read something. Before we go to Hebrews, I know I'm longer than normal, and please forgive me for that. I just want to read something before we go to Hebrews. A sacrifice, one of our sacrifices is something that is visible. A sacrifice is something that is visible, tangible, and it demonstrates the fact that God owns our lives. Our sacrifice shows God He owns our life. And if God owns our life, then our sacrifice is our way of giving back to God. Your sacrifice is your way of giving back to Him what really belongs to Him anyway. Everything on this earth belongs to what? All the cattle are found here. The earth is the Lord and the everything in this world belongs to God. So every time you give God the right thing, I ain't got time to pay my tithe and offering. I'm trying to take care of myself. You know what? God gave you the wealth, gave you the power to get wealth. Read about it in Deuteronomy 18. I'll give you all the chapters for those that are studious who want to read it for yourself. All right? So you can, I can't give God tithes and offering. Well, how can you not give God something that He gave you? And you know what I like about God? God ain't even like this. I go to the store. Every once in a while I go to restaurants and I don't like going to because I like home cooking, but my daughters don't like to cook. So I go to the restaurant. So when I go to the restaurant takes 15% to 20%. Y'all with me? Yeah. Restaurant want 20. How many of y'all bought it at 15% to 20%? They put it on the bill on you. I'm so glad as God is more fair than that. God said, just give me 10%. God said, just give me 10%. You don't have to give me 15% to 20%. God owns everything. Why should I give back to Him? Because He gave it to you. And that's your way of giving back to Him, to tell them, thank you for what you gave me. Yeah, I know. I ain't been to money too long because church get quiet over money. But God gave it to you. It's not yours. Everything in this world belongs to God. Let me finish this, all right? So the word that Paul uses for a sacrifice is thusia, T-H-U-S-I-A. The word covers a variety of things. But the sacrifice is to be living and holy. Now, sacrifices were always killed. And one of the Hebrew scholars explained a living sacrifice this way. This is how he explains a living sacrifice. Because we know the sacrifice is supposed to be what? Killed. But if we kill ourselves, we won't be here to worship God. So this is how a Hebrew scholar explains a living sacrifice. That is when the sacrificial animal has been accepted by the priest as spotless and then is discovered not to be pure. That's why God said when He told them to do the Passover, He said keep it for 4 days. Because But after 4 days, there were some that were not pure. So when the priest sees that the sacrifice is not pure, he's already accepted it, but he cannot now reject it because he's accepted it. Are you with me? So God accepts this sacrifice, but it's not pure. And this is all representing us, all right? So this is what a living sacrifice is. The animal has already been dedicated to God. It can't be returned to the previous owner. Thank you, Lord. I'm so glad when he sees us, we can't be returned. You can't be because it has a blemish. But what happened to it? The animal becomes one of the temple flocks. It's just a part of the temple. Because an impurity was discovered. This describes us. We have been offered and accepted, but we are not blameless or pure. What is left to us is to live out our lives as a part of the temple flock. Right? Because we've already presented ourselves to God, he accepted us, but we're not pure. So God says, well, I've already accepted you, I can't kill you. Are y'all with me?
Yes, hallelujah.
So that's what he means by a living sacrifice. That's why it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we can't go back to the world, but we are not still spotless. And I'm going to close in Jude. Let's close in Jude. Right? There's so many other scriptures that I can go, but I want to go to Jude. Let's go to Jude and verse 24, 25. So we are now a living sacrifice. We've been presented to God, but we're not pure. But God has already accepted us and we're in the fold. We cannot go back to the previous owner. Who's the God of this world? Satan. Amen. God has delivered us from the power of Satan and delivered us into his great kingdom. Now that he's accepted us, we can't go back. So Jude 1 says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to God said in all our righteousness we won't be foolish, but because God has accepted us, when we give God what he wanted, we live right, he said, God will present you faultless. No, yes, we all have problems. Yes, we all have issues. Yes, we all have challenges. But when you give God what he wants, God will present you faultless before the presence. Sarah is in the minister's heart for you. What is your sacrifice? We might not see it, we may not understand it. But rest assured, God sees everything we do. The question today is, what is your sacrifice to God? Is it the blood? Is it the lame? Is it the heart? Has your sacrifice been what a man will take? If it has, it's time for a change, I guess.